God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
This is Pastor Larry. A warm welcome to each and every listener. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion, so if we see confusion, guess where it comes from? There seems to be some confusion even in the evangelical community. Dr. Ron Sider, for example, calls himself a pro-life evangelical. He and others of like mind have signed an online letter noting their opposition to abortion, but they have stated the necessity of voting for Joe Biden in this year's presidential contest. To quote Sider, "As pro-life evangelicals, we disagree with Vice President Biden and the Democratic platform on the issue of abortion. But we believe a biblically shaped commitment to the sanctity of human life compels us to a consistent ethic of life that affirms the sanctity of human life from beginning to end." I want to quote another evangelical who is a high-profile Christian writer and publisher, Joel Belts. Belts is the founder of God's World Publications in 1977, which includes the World Journalism Institute started in 1999 and World Magazine, a biweekly Christian news magazine, in 1986. Belts is a graduate of Covenant College on Lookout Mountain and an elder in the Presbyterian Church in America. In a recent issue of World Magazine, he writes, "No way could I withhold my vote from Biden and then, with virtually the same set of standards, give a pass to Trump. The longer I studied the matter, the more I concluded I couldn't endorse either for the upcoming election." Close quotes. I disagree with both Sider and Belts. I wonder if this represents a large segment and is a worthy focus of our prayer. There is a sinister wickedness pervading our country and world, and it doesn't fit any profile. It strikes without warning. It is shocking. We're going to continue visiting with Josh Peck. In our previous show, we were talking about the DVD documentary Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking. This is a Josh Peck documentary created by Skywatch Films. Thanks again, Josh, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me back on. It's a pleasure and honor for me.
Well, the first interview was really shocking, to say the least, and I want to tell our listeners that all of this is archived. You can go to our website, swrc.com. If you missed it or if you want to re-listen and take some notes, it's there for you. But, Josh, how were these kids found by traffickers, and what kind of kids are most at risk?
This was one of the things that surprised me the most in making this film, because most assume that the majority of kids in sex trafficking got into it from a kidnapping. That's typically what we see in a lot of movies, but sometimes children are found in a lot of other ways. They're found through boys and girls clubs or even church settings. That unfortunately is pretty frequent. Kidnapping does happen. It absolutely does happen, but many times traffickers, especially these days, are more clever in their approach to procuring children. So traffickers will use children to recruit other children. So sometimes this means sending kids into foster care or into child protective services in order to find other kids that the traffickers can target. So you can literally have 9-year-olds recruiting other 9-year-olds. And, you know, they're doing it because they're so young, they don't know any better. It's easy to coerce them. It's easy to threaten them, that tell them that they have to do this or they'll be hurt. Sometimes children are sent into schools to recruit other students in their own class. So we saw this in the case of Jeffrey Epstein. He and Ghislaine Maxwell, they would, you know, abuse the child. They would give that child money and then tell the child to go to their school and find other children to bring over. Now, one of the most horrific things about this is that a child can actually be trafficked without the parents being aware of what's going on, because, again, the kidnapping does not always accompany a child trafficking scenario. So a trafficker can pose as a young girl's older boyfriend, then start selling her, but the girl is allowed to return home as if nothing happened. Most times the parents aren't even aware the girl has a boyfriend or anything like this is going on. Now, so sometimes the girl is just convinced to keep it a secret. You know, your parents won't understand you like I understand you. They don't love you the way I love you. You know, don't tell them. They don't understand. Sometimes that happens, or sometimes they're just threatened. and that what happened with Ilonka Deaton, and we share her story in the film. But sometimes kids are threatened and told, if you tell your mom or dad, if you tell your parents, if you tell anybody what's going on, I'll kill your family in front of you. So that kind of thing happens pretty frequently. The child is allowed to go home, and the parents have no idea what's going on. You know, the parents might just notice the attitude of the child changes a little bit, but many times they see it as a normal part of becoming a teenager. So that leads to the second part of your question, what kinds of children are at risk? In the film, Yaakov Bullion says that the child that is most at risk is not necessarily a child who lives in a poor neighborhood like we would usually think, because that child likely has seen crime firsthand, so their radar is more up. Instead, Yako says that the child that's most at risk is a middle-class suburb child who is oblivious that this kind of thing even happens, a kid who escapes into a cell phone, whose parents are still together even and relatively well off financially, because that child does not have a radar for this kinds of things. So along with kids oblivious to these things, kids who are more withdrawn, you know, loners who aren't as social as most, they're seen as targets, especially if that child doesn't have the best relationship with their parents. This is why it's so important for parents to have strong family homes, because then a trafficker can swoop in and play the hero. That's one way that grooming works. Public schools are susceptible because even if a child doesn't have a cell phone, most likely their friends do. And now it's reported that, and this is horrifying, it's reported that the average age a child sees pornography for the first time is 9 years old. And pornography is frequently used to desensitize children to the idea of sex so they can become easier targets. Kids who are heavily involved on social media are at risk because traffickers will use social media in clever ways to fool kids into making themselves vulnerable. So also, every social media site is inundated with pornography, basically all of them, and no social media company has a great track record of policing it. So we talk about it more in the film, but it's been reported that YouTube, even YouTube for kids, Instagram, Facebook, and many others have already allowed pornography on their platforms, and they continue to do so. So if your kids are on any social media platforms, they have direct access to pornography. Even if you're really confident they're not looking it up, they may have friends at school that are showing it to them. So this problem is rampant. Pornography is used quite often to groom children.
Sometimes certain social media organizations will censor good Christian material, good solid stuff, but they'll allow trash like this on it, and it really tells you, you know, where they're coming from. And of course, we've known that all the while, but this makes it more obvious, to say the least. So what can parents do to help minimize the risk of their children being targeted? And you and your wife, of course, you have a couple little children, don't you?
Yeah, we have four children. We have one on the way, so we five altogether. But yeah, so this is why this was so important to us to really understand this, because, you know, we want to minimize the risk as much as possible. But first, we need to understand at this time in human history, just with the internet the way it is, technology advancing as fast as it is, it's basically impossible to be completely free from any and all risk having to do with trafficking. There are some parents who do everything right, and still their child ends up becoming a target. So that can happen. That falls more in line with what happened with Ilonka Deaton and why we included her powerful story in the film. But there are things that we can do to at least minimize the risk. And they basically revolve around three things: trust, strength, and knowledge. So trust is a huge factor. Parents really need to make sure that they're doing everything they can to be trustworthy figures in their kids' lives. Parents need to be beyond reproach. They need to do as little as humanly possible to give their kids an excuse to not trust them. So they need to be clear and consistent in expectations for your kids. Be completely open and honest, even about your own shortcomings. And as parents, sometimes that can be hard, but it really goes a long way in building trust with your kids. Your kids are going to know your shortcomings anyway. You know, if we remember back when we used to be kids, you know, we were very acutely aware of our parents' shortcomings when we were children. So it'll go a long way of building trust with them if we don't try and hide that fact or try and lie about things that we're not perfect at. If we're willing to be open, they will be more willing to be open with you. So that's really important. Strength is also a big deal. Don't let your kids just have whatever they want. Don't let your kids do whatever they want. Love them enough to be the strict parent that doesn't allow them to have free and open access to a cell phone, but also explain to them why. Explain to them the dangers that are out there, how traffickers absolutely will use their cell phones to target them. So two of our kids have iPads for schoolwork, but they're not connected to the internet. You know, things like that can really help. But yeah, because traffickers will use that stuff. So kids need to be safe more than they need to be, you know, liked by everybody or accepted into every social group that they might be a part of in school. And then the third main thing is knowledge, and that really is the key. And knowledge and wisdom kind of go hand in hand with this, but knowledge, it's so important for parents to be educated and warn their children of the dangers that are in the world instead of ignoring it. And many experts are saying there's no real age where they're too young to know. You just got to talk to them on the level that they can understand, you know. You don't want them to live in constant fear, but you don't want them to be oblivious either. They need to know that there are bad people out there so they can start training their radar to be active at all times. And, you know, I'm a father myself, so I really have a heart for other fathers out there. So right now I'm speaking just to fathers. The large majority of children who are trafficked are girls at something like 95%, but boys are steadily on the rise as well. Most fathers don't realize the power that they have in their daughters' lives. There is a reason that men are told to love their wives like Christ loves the church. We really need to be using Jesus as our example of how to be with our wife and our kids for that strong family unit, because that's going to be the thing that will protect the child the most. The children need to know that they can go to their parents and talk to their parents openly about things without the parents, you know, being freaking out or being judgmental or being too harsh. But the parent needs to be consistent as well. And that starts at home. It starts with the father having a healthy and strong relationship with his wife so the kids can see that as their example. And so that way, when a trafficker comes around and tries to, you know, seduce a young girl, the girl will have a clear picture of what a man is supposed to be like, because she'll have a strong relationship with her father, and this trafficker will have a much harder time grooming her or tricking her into something. So fathers do not understand sometimes how strong of an impact they can have in their kids' lives and how important it is to be good, godly men.
Amen. I think more and more we're seeing what happens when there's a single parent family and dad is absent or running around or whatever. That's a really serious issue. And I know with same-sex marriages, two women, two men, and so forth, it just brings upon a family and upon the nation all kinds of evil. But Josh, if the occult is involved with sex trafficking, and you make it very plain that it is, why don't we hear about it?
Oh, yeah, great question. There's a few different reasons that we don't hear about the occult side of this whole thing. First, it's not as common to be able to prove occult activity as it is to be able to prove kids are being sold purely for abuse. You know, the numbers are lower. But we have to remember, too, that in all trafficking cases, only 1% of this crime is ever reported. So when we say that we don't hear about the occult activity, we need to remember that we're only talking about 1% of this crime. Third, not many investigators want to put their reputation on the line by confirming that there is actual occult activity behind some of this stuff. So it'll either get ignored or, even worse, such as in the case of the Finders, it'll be intentionally covered up because the authorities are involved in it as well sometimes. And again, we talk about that in the Finders case. Another reason is most people think of the satanic panic that happened decades ago, which we do address in the film, and they think any reports of satanic ritual abuse today is just a rehash of the satanic panic. Now, there were things going on that were being sensationalized, but there was also things that were being real as well, and that happens today. Another reason is it's just too disturbing, and this is why we subtitled the film The Darker Side of Trafficking, because whether we want to admit it or not, it's not only the children being sold for abuse, as bad as that is. Sometimes they're sold for ritualistic abuse, even as bad as sacrifice. And it's just too horrific for a lot of people to want to deal with.
Well, Josh, if these victims don't talk to the public and they're afraid to do so, how do we know it's real? How do we know that occult groups are actually buying children for sacrificial purposes? How can we be sure of that?
Absolutely. Well, we can never be 100% sure, so we have to look at what's more reasonable. A lot of these kids that are rescued from satanic ritual abuse all over the country, they all tell the same kinds of stories. Their eyewitness accounts line up. So it's and they don't have the ability to network. It's not like there's some secret conspiracy that these kids are involved in where they're going to lie to the American public. And, it just gets to the point where the opposite would be just too ridiculous. So it makes more sense that the satanic ritual abuse actually does happen. Also, part of it is kind of common sense because we know that there are absolutely evil groups out there that are dedicated to Satan in this country who follow the teachings of people like Aleister Crowley, who he's somebody who wrote about how to use the blood of a young child in magic rituals, and there are people that follow that. So we talk about this in the film. We know that there are people who take that stuff seriously and believe all of it, and we also know that there's people out there who sell children and don't care what anyone does with them. So traffickers will sell anybody, will sell the child to anybody who has the money to buy them. They don't care what the child's being used for. So it would make sense that there are occult groups in America, and I think that there's good evidence to believe that there are, because evil knows no limit, than if they wanted to procure a child for some type of, ritualistic thing that they're doing, then they would most likely go to a trafficker. So the common sense aspect of it lines up with the testimonies, the eyewitness testimonies. But as we say in the film, it is eyewitness only. So, you got to take that for, we don't have like video evidence or anything like that. But I think that the eyewitness testimonies, how well they line up, and then just the idea that there are satanic groups in America, I think when you put all that together, there's more reason to believe this is really happening than there is reason to think that, everyone's lying or everybody's crazy or everybody's just making it up.
Well, Josh, as always, it's been a great blessing. Thank you, brother, so much for your life, and especially for, you do all kinds of stuff, quantum physics and so on, but this is something right at home. What a tremendous contribution you have made. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again to talk about this. I really appreciate it.
Our announcer, Matthew, will come and tell you how you can get your own copy of Silent Cry.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD by Tom Horn and Josh Peck titled Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking. You can have your own copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. It is fast and easy. And you can order anytime on our website at swrc.com. We also have the best-selling book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland. This is the perfect companion book to the DVD. You can have a copy of Shadowland for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both the DVD, Silent Cry, and the book, Shadowland, for a gift of $35. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Communist China has shifted into high gear in violating human rights in a rampage of cruelty and abuse. Schools in China have been teaching children that Christianity is an evil cult. Children are being taught to oppose religion and are encouraged to question the beliefs of family members and report those closest to them to the authorities. Most recently, a house church preacher and wife are facing charges for homeschooling their children.
According to Bitter Winter, the Italian religious liberty and human rights watchdog, communist authorities in China have abducted and tortured a 46-year-old priest in Fujian province for refusing to join the Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association. Officers banged a gong beside his ear and shone a bright light into his eyes for several consecutive days, a torture method known as exhausting an eagle when people are deprived of sleep for a long time.
China has been ruthlessly cracking down against all religions for several years. In 2015, more than 1,000 crosses were removed from churches and entire church buildings were destroyed across Zhejiang province. The Chinese Communist government continued its mad campaign against Christianity during the country's coronavirus outbreak and continued to demolish churches while people were in lockdown.
China's Department of Education is cranking out textbooks used in Chinese schools that falsifies the biblical account found in John 8. The textbook claims that Jesus murdered the woman who was found in adultery and said he too is a sinner. The textbook, published by the government-run University of Electronic Science and Technology Press, states, quote, "The crowd wanted to stone the woman to death as per their law. But Jesus said, 'Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone.' Hearing this, they slipped away one by one. When the crowd disappeared, Jesus stoned the sinful woman to death, saying, 'I too am a sinner.'"
According to Bitter Winter, the story teaches that the law and the Chinese Communist Party are good and pure and transcend the impure human beings who happen to represent them. Even if the officers are corrupted, their decision should be accepted. Honest or corrupted, they represent the party, and the party's law should never be questioned. Now, all this means is that if the Chinese Communist Party insists that something is true or right, it doesn't matter if it is a heinous lie and horribly wrong. The party must always be obeyed.
This is the same kind of thinking that is now pervading America. If one's chromosomes say Joe is a male, we must ignore the chromosomes if Joe says he feels like a Jane and wants to use the girls' room. He should be allowed to do so even though body parts say he should be in the boys' room. This is madness, Pastor Larry, the collapse of rational thinking. No society that makes human opinion and sentiment the measure of truth will last long.
When looking at a candidate, a lot can be learned by observing the family. The Trump family was on display at the RNC convention, each articulate and well-prepared to face the cameras. From a variety of verified website news posts available for your scrutiny, if you wish to call the SWRC office to ask for them, we learn what kind of a family comes from the state of Delaware. They say the apples never fall far from the tree, neither do the watermelons. The Biden family was reviewed in several news sources. In 2017, Joe Biden's niece, Caroline Biden, stole $100,000 through a credit card scam. That's grand larceny. But she was able to cut a deal with the Democratic New York prosecutor and got off scot-free with neither jail time or probation. This was her second arrest. She was able to deal her way out of the first one, too. She's also been in rehab numerous times. Verification from the NewYorkPost.com. Biden's son Hunter was kicked out of the Navy for failing a cocaine drug test. There's more. How did he ever get a naval officer's direct commission? Daddy fixed it. That's found on NBCNews.com. Then Hunter divorced his wife, the mother of his three children, after a year-long affair, to marry his brother's widow. Over the course of the divorce, Hunter drained hundreds of thousands of dollars from the couple's assets by spending extravagantly on his own interests, including drugs, alcohol, prostitutes, strip clubs, and gifts for women with whom he had sexual relations, while leaving the family with insufficient funds to pay legitimate bills. It actually was worse than that, and it's all outlined at DelawareOnline.com. Now, all of this is on top of the billions in compensation his father dubiously arranged for him from communist China and the Ukraine. Again, the NewYorkPost.com for verification. Biden's daughter, Ashley Biden Crine, has been arrested several times for drug charges. While he was VP, she was videotaped snorting cocaine, but the news media decided it wasn't newsworthy and decided not to publish the video. She hid out in the Veep's Delaware home for a week or so until it all blew over. NewYorkPost.com. Okay, what if these things had occurred with Trump's children? They surely are not perfect, but why haven't we heard any of this from the networks or read it in the great national newspapers? Nothing to see here, just move along. Really? 2 Chronicles 6:23 says, "Then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness." Hi, this is Jerry Tyson from Southwest Radio Ministries with a very important and special appeal to you. The upcoming election is going to be the most important national choice in all of history, since Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," back in Joshua 24:15. In 2 Chronicles 7:13-15, we read an interesting promise given directly from God to Solomon, the political leader of Israel, about 3,000 years ago. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." While we're not dealing with Israel and its temple, there is no doubt there is pestilence among us. Our nation is ready to be destroyed by the socialist and communist locusts who want to devour the America our generation was given. God asks us to do 4 things, and in return, he will do 3. We must humble ourselves, pray, seek God's will above all else, and turn from our personal sins. If we do, God promises he will hear us, forgive us, and heal the land. He added the promise that he will be alert to hear our prayers. We're going to call this the My People Initiative. Between now and November, we will be reminding you not only of the need to vote with biblical values, but to stir your friends, your pastor, and congregation to not sit this one out. Consider the 2 candidates. Neither one is qualified to be your pastor, but only one is qualified to be your president. Start a new habit. Each time you thank the Lord for your food, remind him of his promises in 2 Chronicles and dedicate yourself to being what he wants you to be so he can answer your prayers. Join us in the My People Initiative, and thank you.
Very few understand how deep trafficking goes. Child sex trafficking is only the beginning. Our special offer today exposes this wickedness. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And we invite you to visit our website where you can hear this program again or look through our materials at swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.